الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that whoever recites Durood Pak 1000 times a day, he will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear viewers of Maddi channel and our dear Islamic sisters, we are continuing with our series, To Veil or Not to Veil. Whether it is nobler in our minds to suffer the slings and arrows of the outrageous satanic attack and give up or take up arms against the open attack on our Allah-given culture. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with this beautiful culture, and we will be continuing with this discussion, looking at how Shaitan is trying to destroy our contact with Allah Azza wa Jal. And especially for the Islamic sisters, we'll be continuing our discussion on Khatun Jannat, Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha, extracted from an excellent book written in Urdu called Shane Khatun Jannat radiallahu anha, compiled by Madinatul Ilmiya, which comprises of 12 lectures. This book, alhamdulillah, by this important department of Dawat Islami, is for, alhamdulillah, Islamic sisters in particular, to learn about the pure lifestyle of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha. And I appeal to you to get this book, read it, understand the message, and become inspired by it, so that not only yourself, but whoever you come in contact with, you'll find that after you study this book, you'll have so much of jazba, so much of enthusiasm to change yourself and those around you. And inshallah, this will be for you success in the dunya and akhirah. So we make dua, Allah will give us tawfiq to the little time that we have left, that we do things for the betterment for the akhirah. Continuing with the series, we are speaking in the last, because we're continuing about the importance of veiling, of parda. In the last episode, we spoke about the hoors in Jannah. The hoors in Jannah will be confined in tents. As mentioned, that they will glance toward none save the husbands. In Surah Ar-Rahman, it mentioned, Hoorum maqsuratun fil khiyam. They will be confined in the tents, and they will glance at none but the husband. The parda will not be because people are inclined to sinning, because you are in Jannah, but it will be because of modesty, because non-veiling is shameless. Imagine the hoors are veiled because this is to show you the status of parda. So, but in hell there will be no parda. In Jannah there will be parda because it is noble. It is something of very high standing to have parda. So imagine if you be without parda in the dunya, and how would you feel? Because those people who are destined to hell, to Jahannam, the sinful men and women, they will be without any clothes. They will be naked and burning in the fire of hell. So therefore, you have to make the choice now, whether you want to be in Jannah or be like this. Be pardagi, that means non-veiling, can make you and destroy your position and make you deserving of hell. In a book published by Dawat Islami by Maktabat al Madina called Parde ke Bare mein Sawal Jawab, which is a 397-page book, on page 200 in this book written by Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, he states that after the passing away of Sarkar Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha was very grief stricken, and it's mentioned that she stopped smiling completely. And just before she passed away, she smiled only once. The reason for that rare smile is also very, very remarkable. And the one who is the epitome of modesty and shame had this anxiety. She said that in her whole life, she succeeded in keeping herself away from the gaze of non-mahram men. And now, how she is going to keep, imagine her thought, how is she going to protect herself when she passes away from the gaze of non-mahram men? Imagine that thought. And she was worried about this. How is she going to keep the gaze of non-mahram men staring at her body wrapped in kafan, in a shroud? How was she going to protect her body from the gaze of non-mahram men? Imagine, that was her concern. So one day, Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha was talking to Hazrat Sayyidina Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was discussing this. Then Hazrat Sayyidatuna Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned that in Habsha, Abyssinia, a country in Africa, the coffin of ladies are first covered in branches, I mean branches of trees, and then it's made in the form of a cradle, and then it's covered up. And then she made a model of that with the branches of date trees and covered this in a cloth, and she showed this to Hazrat Sayyidina Khatun Jannat radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when she showed this, Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha became very happy. She was pleased, and for the first time since the passing away of Sarkar Madina sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she smiled. Because now her worry about how she's going to protect her body and the shape from being seen by mahram men was now taken care of, and she smiled. Now, there's a very important point for us to understand historically. Now, I mentioned Abyssinia. Abyssinia is the present Ethiopia. And when, this is a little bit of history regarding Abyssinia. When the Meccans, the people from Mecca, were persecuting the Muslims, and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the Muslim, because the kuffars were torturing the Muslims and they tried their best to destroy the mission of Islam, and Abu Lahab, the leader of the kuffars, encouraged them to do evil action, and he stood against our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his prophetic his mission in Mecca, and he did his best to destroy Islam. And the slaves and the poor people that accepted Islam, they suffered the most in the hands of the Meccans. Many were martyred, and some of them were subject to all kinds of punishment. And when the Muslims' condition became miserable and unbearable, because they were suffering continuously with patience, and they were not disheartened because they persevered despite all the problems, and when it was realized that the kuffars were not going to stop, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded a small group of Muslims to make hijrah to Abyssinia. And this Abyssinia, which was ruled by a very just king whose title was called Negus Najashi, and they were received, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that you will get protection and peace. And Muslims wanted to get away from this persecution so that they could worship Allah Azawajal and live in peace. And this planning was kept a secret. A group of Muslims left, and they consisted of 16 people. Amongst them were 12 men and 4 women. And in this, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an, third Khalifa of Islam, and a very close companion of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who also had the honor of marrying the first daughter of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And then when she passed away, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his second daughter to Hazrat Uthman Ghani. But he was also one of the people that went to Abyssinia. And when the Meccans found out, they chased the Muslims, but the Muslims had already departed. And so eventually the Meccans went with lots of gifts because they were angry that the Muslims escaped. So they decided to go to Abyssinia, and they took a lot of gifts, and they thought they'll use the gift to soften the king's stand. And they approached the king, and they said to the king, "These people, they have left our country, and they have brought a strange new religion into our country, and they're causing lots of division and among the families, and we would like you to return them so that we can deal with them in Makkah." And the Meccans sent two people, one was Amr bin Alas and Abdullah bin Abi Rabia. They took all these gifts and they went and presented it. And then, as I said, King Negus, he was a very fair person. He said, "Okay, call the Muslims. Let me hear their side of the story." The Muslims came, and they were not scared because they had a lot of tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hazrat Jafir bin Abu Talib stood up, and he explained to Negus, Najasi, about the situation of the Arabs before the divine guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal came. He said, "We are worshipping idols, and we are doing many bad things. We neglected our responsibilities to our fellow people, to our neighbors, and to the orphans. And we had forsaken justice. And we had no compassion. We shouldn't worry about charity. And we had forgotten all the good characteristics of a human being." That means we knew nothing about truth, honesty, piety. We lived our life like an animal. And he said, "We knew no form of justice because the strong oppressed the weak, and the weak were always subjugated." When Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu explained this, and explained our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought this pure message about the worshipping one Allah and not worshipping all these idols, and how our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged them to always speak the truth and to be faithful to the trust and promises, to be merciful and just when dealing with people, and to respect the right of fellow human beings. And when he spoke about this, and how our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade them to speak evil of women, and not to ill-treat a woman, not to ill-treat the orphans. And he also explained that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that instead of doing evil acts, offer prayers, pray to the one Allah, give charity, observe fasting. As he was speaking, Negus was so impressed. And he asked, "Is this the reason why the Meccans are attacking you?" He said, "I am satisfied with what you have said, because this is what is in the Bible. And the Bible spoke about the coming of the last prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And then he accepted them. Now the envoys, they got very disappointed that the trick did not work. Then they told Negus, "Ask them what they believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Jesus." Then he called the Muslims again. And he said, "What do you say about, because that say they believe that Jesus Ma'azallah was a son of God, a son of, they say, Allah of God." Then when he called the Muslims, again Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu recited some verses from Surah Maryam, which talks about the miraculous birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and the status of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in Islam. And Negus was again, when he was reading this, he was so impressed that he started tearing. He said, "Indeed, what you say is the truth." And the beautiful verses of the Quran moved him. Look at the magic of the verse of the Holy Quran. And he told to his people, "Take these gifts and give it to these Meccans, and they'll tell them to get out from there, and the Muslims can live in peace." And the Meccans were shocked that the whole plan backfired. As you can see, the fearlessness of the Muslims and them talking the truth and giving the message, the Quran, to Negus, eventually Negus became a Muslim. In the sixth year of Hijrah, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a letter to the king. He invited him to Islam. Najasi accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, and he accepted our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger of Allah azza wa jal. And he's mentioned that he never met our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when he passed away, his funeral prayer was performed in absentia. That means Salatul Ghaib was performed for him, and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed for him Salatul Ghaib. And our scholars say that it was only then that Salatul Ghaib was done by our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that nobody is given the permission to do Salatul Ghaib on anybody else. That was the privilege of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was just a brief history about Abyssinia. Alhamdulillah, we spoke about Abyssinia, that this was the custom of them burying people. Alhamdulillah, when Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha heard this, she became very, very pleased. Dear Islamic sisters, indeed, it is very sad if we look at the condition of our Islamic sisters these days. You have to hang your head in shame, because our Islamic sisters, many of them, have no idea about parda. And ever since, our Islamic sisters have become influenced by the prevalent kafir culture. They copy shameless way of dressing, and they have got sucked in this whirlpool of spiritual darkness, and they are sinking deeper and deeper into this fathomless darkness, this darkness of sinful pleasure, of lust, and they have become slaves of shaitan, who is enticing them to get involved in more and more sensual activities. And what they are not realizing, unfortunately, that shaitan is taking them with this fashion and the enjoyment of this kind of culture, taking them further and further away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Some Muslims, despite knowing and they can see what is unfolding in front of their eyes, but many of us choose to ignore it. We are fast asleep, a sleep of heedlessness. And we think, no, whatever we see happening around, we think it's not going to affect us. How wrong we are. These people using their culture, robbing us of our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. It is His, Allah Azza wa Jal, help that will grant us success not only in the dunya, in this temporary world, but also, do not forget, in the permanent world as well, in the akhirah. And if you look at the life of Khatun al-Jannat, the beloved daughter of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are talking about her life. She remained awake and she worshipped the whole night, and she was enveloped in modesty and decency. Her life should be a reflection on our Islamic sisters. Now compare her life to the life of our sisters. She spent her night worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. And yet, if we study her life, it was sinless. Yet, she worshipped the whole night because she loved to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And dear Islamic sisters, ask yourself, which day you sat and enjoyed worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal? What do our sisters do then for their, how do they pass their night? We look at one side, the life of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha, worshipping the whole night and enjoying this ibadat. On the other hand, look at our Islamic sisters, watching movies for the whole night, surfing the net, chatting, watching filth. And when you're watching this, what are we seeing? We're seeing the kuffar's way of dressing, the kuffar culture, the kuffar's way of life. And that is actually changing the people's mind when they see it. Because if you keep looking at sinful things, suddenly it doesn't look sinful. Because what happens, you're watching be pardagi, openness, And you know on movies what you see, filth. And unfortunately, while you're watching this, your mind is getting used to seeing that. At first you may get disgusted, especially if the person is dressed up revealingly. Then as you keep watching, this is how shaitan works. At first, then you stop getting disgusted. Then all of a sudden you start getting used to seeing it. And then you start enjoying seeing it. When you're enjoying seeing it, that person become attractive to you. When they become attractive, then you want to become attractive like them. So you start dressing like them. And you see them on the movie, they're showing them, enjoying themselves, roaming in the shopping center, the face decorated with makeup. And you see that their parents are giving them the freedom to go out. So now you impose on your parents how old-fashioned you are. See, the movies you see. Now you won't say directly that I've been taught. You talk about other people. That person, his mother and father let him go out and you keep us like we are in jail. But what is putting this idea in the mind is the filth that they're watching. And that filth from the eyes is going to the heart and mind and they're enjoying this kind of life in your own bedroom. Shaitan is making them enjoy shaitanic culture. And unfortunately, many of us are adopting this kind of culture. Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Shuhabuddin Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote about Miraj. At the time of Miraj, Sarkar Kainat, our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saw a woman being hung from the head, from the hair, and the skull was torn open. And he was told the reason for this punishment was because the woman used to walk about without covering the hair. So, my dear Islamic sisters, this is an episode that our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to warn us beforehand about don't keep your hair covered, because this is the punishment. You'll be hung on your hair and your skull will be torn open. This is not a fairy tale. This is the word from the lip of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He never spoke on his own accord. So this is to warn you while you are in the dunya. Take care. Don't wait for the time when Malak al-Maut comes and take your life and then you realize what a big sin. I haven't been covering my hair. I have made Allah Azza wa Jal angry. Now I can't do anything. The door of Tawbah is closed when Malak al-Maut comes. Don't wait for that time. My dear Islamic sisters, let it not be that you get destroyed because of this modern fashion and you get pushed into the fire of hell. Repent now. Imagine first the humiliation and the pain of being hung on your hair. So it is essential for you to hide your hair from ghair mahram men. This is also mentioned that even the hair, when you comb your hair, the hair should not be discarded. Now look at this, Sharia wise. The hair that comes out from your comb, that should not be even seen by men. So how much protection you must have on your regarding your hair. It is mentioned in a book published by Maktabatul Madina, that means Bahar-e Shariat, 1197 page, published on the third section, page 449. It is mentioned that it is incumbent on women to even take the hair that comes out when they're combing or when they're washing and put hide it such a place where a ghair mahram men cannot see that hair. Can you see hair broken from your body? If you must have to take so much of care, what about the hair on yourself? Says that our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the night of Miraj came across a pit with a very repulsive odor, very bad smell. And there was a very disturbing sound inside, like an uproar. And our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, what is this? Not that he did not know. When our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the question, it's for us to understand what is happening. And our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told that these are the women that used to beautify themselves with impermissible things. Now, my dear Islamic sisters, in Islam, we are asked to adopt simplicity. As we know, we have been listening to the lifestyle of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha. And look what a simple life she led. And you are told, that especially for the woman, that you must not use impermissible means to beautify yourself. And there is respect and dignity and also protection in being simple in Islam. Now for the fashion-conscious women who are always buying the latest fashion, who will discard expensive clothing because there's no more in fashion. They'll buy the most expensive garment and suddenly the color has gone out of vogue or the style has changed slightly. Now that's thrown or given away. Or if it's slightly torn, stitches give up. They will never dream of mending it. So many people saw us wearing this dress. How can I wear this? I went to the wedding and someone saw me wearing this dress. How can I wear it? What people say, I can't afford to buy a new dress. What do you think of me? Isn't this what happens? And one very important thing now, we're talking about Islamic sisters. The benefit of becoming joining the mahal of Dawat Islami, and a responsible brother told me this. He said when he was young, he was very, very fashionable. He said whatever was the latest fashion, every month he spent a lot of money buying new clothes, new wardrobe. He should buy new shoes, the latest fashion. And he says ever since he joined Dawat Islami and he's dressing up in Madani Libas, what he should spend in 1 month, he said he doesn't even spend that for the whole year. Because of simplicity. So can you see that, alhamdulillah, how much of benefit there is in joining the mahal of Dawat Islami? Because if you start, you mix with sisters who are not fashion conscious, they are wearing burqa, madni libas, and there's no fashion. Alhamdulillah, you save yourself so much of money, and as you said, there is a lot of dignity in simplicity. Because if we are to follow the lifestyle of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha, then follow it fully. Again, as you said, you find many women, if they made a certain dress for this wedding, they wore it once, they can't wear it again. So many people in the wedding saw me wearing the dress. Now I can't wear it again. What will people think? I can't afford new clothes. This is something Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reported that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, clothing being worn out, that means old clothing, is a true form of iman. That means if the clothes are gone old and you wear it, it shows that you are not wearing it to show people. What is the purpose of clothing? The purpose of clothing is to cover your body. And as I said, if you get influenced by Western culture, and this is what happens, as we said, if the color is no more in vogue, or the style has changed, you have to spend so much of money to keep up. And what an artificial kind of lifestyle. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that we must try, instead of just beautifying our outside character, let us beautify our inside. That means strengthen our iman. And this is where we'll be successful in the dunya and akhirah. Dear Islamic sisters, wearing silk, wearing gold for you, and henna, mehendi, and also for you to remove the hair on your lip, the mustache, is permissible. So, other than that, extending your hair, removing your eyebrow, etc., shaving your eyebrow, filing your teeth, etc., as mentioned in Bahar-e Shariat, again published by Dawat Islami, 3rd volume, 16th section, page 596. It mentioned, especially for those women who use hair, to extend the hair. It is haram to extend your hair with someone else's hair. It mentioned in the Hadith of Pak that curse is upon the person who is using other people's hair. And mentioned also in Bihari Shariat that the person who is doing the braiding and the person who is getting the hair braided, curse is upon them. Because they are not supposed to do this. That means you can't even use your own natural hair. There is permission granted to use wool or black cotton or black material, but not natural hair. And also mention about plucking eyebrow. Unfortunately, you find, speak to the modern woman, they spend so much of money going to beauty salons, beauty parlors, just to shave the eyebrows so that they appear beautiful. Now this is something which mentioned that the curse of shaitan is upon you. So don't think, and it's haram to do that, as you mentioned in Bharat Shariat. So please, the person who is getting the eyebrow shaped and the person who is doing the job, both of them are cursed. So therefore, it's very important, my dear Islamic sisters, if you want to worry of dunya only and sacrifice your akhirah, that is your call. That means we have to think about your future. Now, for those people who are influenced by the kuffars, backward, sleazy, filthy, morally and spiritually bankrupt lifestyle, and who these people roam about, you know, you look at the kafirs, they think nothing about exposing the body, dressing up with tight clothes, dressing up shamelessly, and they are proud about it. And what you are seeing in the so-called Western countries, for them, an enjoyable life is going to the nightclub, dancing, going to the rave club, getting drunk, getting drugged. And unfortunately, many young Muslims see this. They're exposed to this on TV. They watch movies. And they also feel, look how they're enjoying themselves, jumping and dancing and drinking and falling and dressing up so badly. So they think this is the lifestyle that we're supposed to be living, because they are so far away from Islamic values. And unfortunately, we find that these people from the so-called Western, so-called cultured people, they feel nothing about seeing their daughters or the wives dancing with strange people on the dance floor. And even if the dancing is intimate, they say we are open-minded, we allow these things, they accept it. Now such people in Islam are called the youth. Who has, the youth is the person who doesn't have any shame in him. He allows his wife to dress anyhow, to talk to men, allow his daughters to dress anyhow, and the way they dress, the way they talk, that means he does not care. That means, imagine how stupid it is that if you think about it this way, your wife is valuable to you. Her beauty is only for your use, will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. You can be reading namaz 5 times a day. You can be doing everything Islamically, but you are allowing your daughters to dress up such a way that they entice other men. You will never smell the fragrance of Jannah. Mothers and fathers, husbands. And unfortunately, you find these days, there are people who get angry when their wives dress up Islamically, because they don't want the people to think that I have an old-fashioned wife. My wife must look like a model. She must dress like a model. And you find some people get cross. There are women that complain to Islamic sisters. They say, we are so ashamed to say that we feel so envious you're dressing up Islamically, but we, our husbands, don't want us to cover. They say, you're not a granny now. You don't become our grandmother. Can you see how far our people are from the value of Islam? And how are we going to face Allah on the day of Qiyamah? Ask yourself this question. Having an open mind. This is what the Western culture says. That we have to enjoy this dunya. This is what they say. And the newspapers are full of stories about illicit affairs of movie stars, film stars. And now, our children, and sometimes maybe your wife, your children's mother, is watching this movie, watching soap operas, and certain person is her heroine, her movie star, the one that she admires, and that person in the movie is committing adultery. So now because she loves this movie star, she would love her action. She would love the way she's committing adultery. So in her heart also, the desire to act that. So she waits for an opportunity. As you can see, there is an increase in illicit affairs because of this, especially in the Western countries. That men and women, you'll be shocked to know, there's a thing called wife swapping among the Western people. And unfortunately, you find, because of these illicit affairs, there are many illegitimate babies are being born. And abortion is in the increase. And many clinics and hospitals are being set up to do abortion. What is abortion? To kill a baby in the stomach of the mother. And look at how bad it has become. His whole situation now. That nowadays we find that girls in particular are ashamed when they're pregnant. When the child is born, they take the child and dump it in the street or dump it somewhere. And imagine what kind of life. One is abortion. That means the children are killed. And the other is they are dumped. Dumped. And what kind of future for that child who is because of this illicit affair. So can you see this lifestyle? And unfortunately, it's happening amongst Muslims as well. Especially the so-called modern Muslims, girls who are going to universities and they become liberated. And unfortunately, we're finding that even sometimes because of this kind of mindset, when they get married, you find unfortunately the marriage does not last. Because why? They want that exciting lifestyle that they saw their movie stars have been leading, that the husbands are taking them to parties, going to a restaurant and enjoying themselves. And now they come home, the husband says, where's my food? The husband wants to live an Islamic life. They are used to seeing this exciting lifestyle that the husband is taking the wife to parties and meeting this person, enjoying themselves. And all of a sudden, that's the type of life they want to lead. Be-pardagi, no covering. And all of a sudden, if the husband is Islamically conscious, he says, no, you know, my mother doesn't like you dressing like that. Sister, so the woman will say, did I marry your mother? You married your mother, you married me. Can you see? This, unfortunately, is what is happening. And as a result, you find, because of this lack of understanding, and especially if the husband wants to follow Islam, and the daughter, the wife is very, very modern, you are going to have clashes. And many cases, the wife starts regretting. She says, I didn't realize I married an old man, old-fashioned thinking person. And what happens? That marriage is destroyed. So unfortunately, dear Islamic sisters, I just want to leave you with one thought. And this is something that we have to ponder upon. Imagine there are twins, two sisters who are beautiful. And this we asked men. And what is the answer? I want you to listen carefully. You've got two Islamic sisters who are twins, who look beautiful, right? One dresses up shamelessly. Tight clothing, revealing clothing, short dress, etc., revealing every part of her body. And another one dresses up in parda. So a person wants to make her wife. Who you think he will choose for his wife? If he wants to have a good time, if he's not Islamically minded, who would he choose to have a good time? But if he wants a wife, who would he choose? So think about this. We are Muslims, and as Muslims, we must think about our future. Alhamdulillah, for those sisters who are in the mahal of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, you find that they have changed their lifestyle, many of them. They are now dressing up Islamically because of the exposure to Islamic way of thinking. Many of them changed their lives. Many of them who used to go out and now sitting at home, and they know that Allah Azza wa Jal and our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be pleased if they emulate the lifestyle of Hazrat Bibi Fatima radiallahu anha. So they are trying to do that. They are going for weekly ijtimas. And there have been many, many stories about how their life has changed. So make dua, Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq, all of you tawfiq, to understand that there is protection for you in adopting the parda. So the choice is yours, whether you want to please shaitan and follow his way of lifestyle, the way he is trying to destroy Islamic culture.